Welcome to the Startup Dentist Podcast. I'm your host, Stephen Trutter. After over 800 plus successful dental startups, I'm here to share everything I know about starting a profitable and purposeful dental practice with you. In each episode, we get right to the core of what it takes to launch and grow a successful dental practice. So whether you've just started researching dental startups or you've been sitting on the fence for a while, this podcast is your personal roadmap to your very own dental practice. Let's get into it. Welcome back. If you are an associate dentist thinking about this path of practice ownership and you're not quite sure if an acquisition or the startup path is the right path for you and you're torn between, then check out a recent episode where I talk about the pros and cons of an acquisition and a startup. And I like to take a very unbiased approach to this because number one, I love practice ownership, but number two, it has to be the right path for you. There isn't a simple like one size fits all. So if you're contemplating both paths and you want to get some insights on both, because I've been involved on both sides of those equations, then check out the most recent episode where I talk about the pros and cons of startup versus acquisition. Because here's why. Guess what? Not too long ago, I had a client. His name is Dr. Ryan, and in the Midwest. And Dr. Ryan said, "Hey, I was looking at buying a practice, but I had been looking for a couple of years." And guess what? Years sounds just awful. In a couple of years, you could have a hugely thriving startup. So think about timeline, draw that line in the sand as well, and think about like, what is your next 18 to 24 months look like and where you want to be? All right. So today we are diving into how a startup can beat corporate dentistry. A little bit of David and Goliath here today. So grab your notepad and let's make this dream practice of yours a living and breathing reality. All right. So corporate dentistry, folks, it's not going anywhere. I wish it would go away. But here's the thing. Corporate dentistry, we're seeing it more often. You know, like the Walmart of dentistry is starting to pop up. But guess what? Don't be discouraged because there is so much great opportunity that is out there to get you to that next level of becoming a proud and confident practice owner. So today I want to talk about three different elements that can set you apart, how you can beat corporate dentistry, how you can separate yourself in your community to build something that you're proud to own, that you're confident, and that you don't have to think about like, is corporate dentistry taking over dentistry? Because you know what? They said that 10 years ago. I've been doing this for 20 years here, folks. And 10 years ago, it was corporate dentistry taking everything over. But the amazing thing is that we are seeing such thriving startup practices happening, even in areas where there is corporate dentistry. So I want to give everybody some really good information here to shed some light and to be able to give you the tools as you go in to take that leap to become a proud practice owner, but in an area that maybe corporate dentistry is starting to come in. The funny thing is that the other thing out there in terms of corporate dentistry, I'll just say this, you know, practices, we don't support or open up corporate dentist offices. I'll just make that disclaimer. However, I've said this at our course and things like that. Like I love corporate dentistry and here's why. It's a little self-serving. They're probably the greatest supplier of clients. So many of you might be listening or working in a corporate environment. And guess what? Like you're seeing maybe some good systems and things like that. There's some good things you could learn from every environment, whether it's a private practice, whether it's corporate dentistry. But I endorse the corporate dentistry because so many of our clients come through that channel. They leave that area because they realize there's a better way. They realize they want to be able to treat patients a different way. They want to be able to build a team a different way. They want to be able to treat their team members a different way. So you're probably, if you're driving to work or you work at a DSO, you're probably thinking about like, wow, this thing, I see how patients are treated. I like to call it spreadsheet dentistry. You know, corporate dentistry is a spreadsheet. It's like, you know, when a corporate office comes in and they buy a practice, immediately there's the focus becomes onto profitability. Because what you need to understand behind the scenes is DSOs and people like that, they are owned by private equity firms. There is investors into these large corporate dental offices or corporate groups. And many of them change hands 3 to 5 years in because a big investor comes in. after 3 to 5 years and says, okay, we've made our profit on this investment. This investment was this corporate dental group. Time to pull out, they move on. And then that corporate dental group says, okay, great. We need to find another main investor to come into that. So it does change hands quite a bit that's in there. But the focus is always on how do we make more money? Hey there, Startup Dentist Podcast listeners. It's Stephen Trutter here, taking a quick break from today's episode to share something special with you. If you're dreaming of owning your own dental practice, then you need to get your hands on our Startup Dentist book. This isn't just any book. It's a 200-plus page comprehensive guide that covers everything you need to know to start a successful dental practice. From picking the perfect location to designing a patient-friendly office to building a marketing plan that draws in your ideal patients, we've got you covered. This book is packed with insider tips and real-world strategies. So many of you, and I've encountered thousands of dentists in my career, you got into dentistry for a different reason. There is, I always say, you can have both. You can have the care of patients. Dental care is what we call it, right? You can have the care of patients and also have financial stability, financial rewards, be able to hit financial, your own personal financial goals. You can have both. And you can really do both. You can care deeply for your patients and for the team members and for your community. And you can also make a very good living doing it as well. When corporate comes in, it's less about community. Because the people that are there, they're somewhere different. They're not in the community. They are sitting behind a desk. They're looking at spreadsheets saying, okay, we made this investment. How do we make our investors whole? How do we make our investors make more money? And that's what their focus is on, is the money side of dentistry. And that's why you see a lot of, when corporate dentistry comes in, even some of these environments right now, we're seeing it left and right. I talk with a lot of people that are out there. I give a shout out to Mr. Rob Montgomery. He's a great dental specific attorney that's out there. Not only do I know Rob on a personal level, but he's a very great professional colleague. We talk about this. There's kind of different categories out there of corporate dental groups. There are ones that go in that know how to run dental offices and dental practices. There are ones that candidly don't have a clue about the dental side. It was a transaction for them. And we're seeing a lot of those struggle. You see those groups like going in going, oh man, we're this doesn't make sense. Like we don't know how to do this, especially when they go in and then poof, the team leaves, the associates leave. And some of these practices, they're sold and it's like they almost implode in some cases when DSOs come in and from corporate dentistry comes in, because simply that particular DSO doesn't know how to run a dental practice. They don't know the systems and things like that behind the scenes. So I'm shedding some light to say it isn't all, it is very positive from a private practice opportunity. There's great opportunities out there that exist from a private practice ownership. And some of you that are living in that DSO world are looking at this going, there is a better way. I can treat my patients in a different way. So what I want to be able to do today is let's talk about these elements. Let's talk about these important elements that exist there and how a startup can beat corporate dentistry, even when they're next door or in that same community that a startup is in. So the first thing I want to talk about is doctor-patient relationship. I like to use the word my dentist. I have a dentist. His name is Dr. Andrew. Maybe few of you, I'll give him a shout out as well. And I refer to him as my dentist. I refer to every dentist I've ever seen that I've lived as my dentist. There is a doctor-patient relationship that exists. And some of you, even working in a DSO, know, wow, I have great relationships with my patients. And when I leave, you know, now again, you have corporate, you have contracts. I'm not saying like, hey, go against your contracts and non-competes are changing in our country and things like that. But you probably can think about like, wow, I have lots of patients that love me. And when I leave, and if I go far enough, if I have a non-compete and things like that, I'm going to be able to have patients that'll find me and be able to see me. Why? They have a relationship with you. There's a trust that is built. Dr. Ben, who's one of our clients, he's on the East Coast. He had two corporate dental offices open up within a year of his startup. And I remember talking to Dr. Ben. I talked to Ben on a pretty regular basis. And he's like, didn't bother me. I'm like, well, did it affect you negatively? No, not at all. He goes, I continued to grow. he continued to invest in his practice. He says, I'm getting patients from 25, 30 minutes away. He goes, I have built a relationship over time with my patients so that if a corporate dental office comes in, that's cool. You know, that those patients will go to certain patients and certain people will go to those kinds of practices. But there's a doctor-patient relationship that exists that if you continue to do right, you'll have that following. So it's important to understand doctor-patient relationship typically doesn't exist in DSOs. And think about when corporate dentistry does come into even private practice, it changes even the dynamic of the doctor-patient relationship. So if a senior doctor is still there and has to stay on for a year or two, everything changes. The patient understands what is... The patients aren't, they're not immune to the change. They understand the change. They're not, well, let's say this, they're not dumb to the change. They can walk in and go, this feels different. Yesterday, Dr. So-and-so was like here and he's here, but it feels way different. There's a different dynamic that exists when corporate dentistry comes in. That doctor-patient relationship is something that you have to build over time, and that's trust. And a private practice has that. That is one of the biggest things that private practice has and is as an advantage from over corporate dentistry is that doctor-patient relationship. So don't miss out on that and don't negate that and don't undermine or I guess don't discount how people do refer to their doctors. The second element I talked about and I touched on this a few minutes ago is you as a startup get to choose your patients. Now you're not going to go around town and go, I choose you. You're going to come in here. But I talk about this in our demographics. Like demographics, I talk about demographics in a lot of detail, especially at our course. And I talk about this in a very recent podcast. Demographics is not about like the physical location of the practice. It's also about choosing the area of abundance of the kinds of people you love to serve. When corporate dentistry opens up a practice, they're looking at different masses of patients. And for you that are working in a corporate office now, think about some of the patients that you may see. I remember Dr. Jordan, I've talked about Dr. Jordan before. He felt like he was a MIC dentist. Now think about that. Like it was a transaction. He worked in a practice. It was like super busy, seeing 30, 40 patients a day. And it was a corporate office making a good living. Life was good, but he goes, this doesn't work. And when you have a startup, what I'm saying to you is this. In corporate dentistry, those patients that see corporate offices probably aren't your, what we call, your ideal patient. There's so many patients out there. There's a lot of teeth that go around within a community. Corporate dentistry does target certain people. They go in, they look for this kind of, typically their demographics are way different than what you're targeting. They're also selling that dentistry to that patient. So you get to choose your patients as a startup. And if you do it right and you find the abundance, and this is where demographics is so important, then you can choose an area of the abundance of the kinds of people that you want to choose. So as you're thinking about that today, think about two or three of your most favorite patients that you love to see on a daily basis, or maybe not on a daily basis, but two or three of your most favorite patients. Think about those and think about the kinds of procedures that they've had. Maybe think about some of their socioeconomic elements, like how much are they higher income? Are they blue collar? Are they white collar? Think about their age, ethnicity, or all the different elements. And you may find some commonalities that exist. What you need to do is find an area of those kinds of patients that you choose to come into your practice. And that's the advantage that you get to have. And to give you great peace of mind that there are so many of those patients that exist that want, back to number one, that doctor-patient, practice-patient relationship. Corporate dentistry doesn't have that. It's a cold relationship. And if you think about like what happens also in DSOs a lot of times, or if the corporate dentistry buys a practice, or just in general, there's a lot of turnover inside of practices. The relationship also is transferred so many times. And after a while, a patient goes, I lost my relationship. The hygienist, the assistant, the doctor, they've lost that relationship over time. As a private practice, you have the ability of having longstanding relationships. And if you think about longstanding relationships, it could really grow tenfold with referrals and things like that. And if you think about corporate dentistry, like I'm sure people do refer to a corporate dental office, but they probably refer to like, I see doctor dot, 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 fill in the blank. They see that doctor. So it can't be overstated to say doctor-patient relationship and finding those areas of the parents' patients is so important. So I'm going to give you all peace of mind. There are so many patients that are out there. They're looking for a relationship. You can choose that. Some of the patients that go see corporate dentistry, I'll just be candid, they're not your patients. They're just not. They're looking for steep discounts. They're looking for the deal. They are. And unfortunately, some of them are programmed that way. Maybe they're low income, maybe they're Medicaid. Listen, I think it's noble to serve Medicaid and things like that. But if those are the kinds of patients that don't fit for you, then find another area. We can find those areas that fit perfectly for you. So doctor-patient relationship, so important. Your patients, find your patients. There are your patients. There's so many of those patients out there. Now, I always say this, you won't love all your patients, and that happens. But with the ability of a startup, you get to find that those kinds of patients that you would love to serve, large numbers of those patients you would love to serve on a daily basis that maybe have some of your common values. So thinking of that, so the third element I want to talk about is the way a startup can beat corporate dentistry is truly making an impact in your community. What do I mean by that? I talk about, in our course, I talk about the give strategy. We have built so many give elements or give process where we have clients that connect within their community. The biggest difference is people will be attracted to you, not just will be beyond the dentistry and the discounts. I always talk about the values that you have. And this works. We've seen it work hundreds of times by truly making an impact in your community. Because guess what, folks? This is about marketing, a little bit about marketing. You can't outspend a corporate dental office as a startup. Maybe you can if you've got like hugely deep pockets, but let's be real. You're not going to outspend corporate dentistry as a startup. How do we beat them if we can't outspend them? Strategically marketing, your ground marketing is going to be so important to the impact that you have in your community. Being physically at events, physically in your community, connecting with your community, stepping out from the chair and being like in your community. That's how you create community impact. That's how you get recognized in your community. It's being outside of your practice. And one of the biggest things that we help our clients do is help them give back within their communities. And this is one of the things that separates private practice from corporate dentistry. And guess what, folks? Corporate dentistry does it sometimes. Like, hey, we're going to give this thing. We're going to do this thing. We're going to do something that feels philanthropic. But whenever I see it, it feels a little bit salesy. It feels a little bit disingenuous. I'm like, are you doing it for the cause in the community? Are you doing it to maybe just prop yourself up and look better on social media? You know what I'm saying? What is the purpose of that? So I'll tell a story. Dr. Lauren, I talk about her in my book. And so Dr. Lauren, her and her family, her husband, very outdoorsy people. They're out west in Colorado. And her give was a local non-for-profit that helped develop mountain bike trails. And I've told this story many times, but it frames it so well for this discussion. So she partnered with this non-for-profit that was mountain biking. Yep, mountain biking. It was her personal interest, outdoor sports, loves doing it. And when she partnered with this local non-for-profit, they invited to her grand opening their entire membership of over 1,000 members to her grand opening. Think about that. And you know how much that cost? Almost nothing. We'll call it zero. They did the marketing. She had the connection to the community. Now, Dr. Lauren doesn't see just only mountain bikers in her practice, I'm sure. But by connecting in your community beyond dentistry, beyond discounts, and having something that you can connect with, maybe something you can even partner with, it shows people who you are because of your values and connects back into that community. And not only are your patients, many of them are going to be attracted to that, but there's also an internal thing that happens inside of a practice. Those team members that work for you, will also recognize, wow, I come here and it's not just for paycheck. I come here also because we get to do fun things. We get to be able to connect within our community. We get to do things. They are proud themselves. And I've had a number of clients even come back and ask them about their give. And they said, Stephen, you know what one of the amazing things is, like the give and what we get to do and impact our community. We have an event once or twice a year, things like that, to be able to do these things. He said, I've had a number of clients say, you know what one of the greatest things about the give is? They get a little funny about it because they said, my team is almost more passionate about what we do than I am now. And, you know, like, because the team has now embraced this. So think about, what's that saying? It takes a village. Your practice is a village. Whether it's your team, whether it's your patients, like your team is your village. And if you've got these other people that are saying, hey, this is what we do in the community, they are advocates. They are talking about this in a positive light. You are separating yourself day in and day out against corporate dentistry who doesn't do this. They're treating everything as a spreadsheet. Everything, every patient is based upon what was sold, what procedures. You know, listen, you got to have those financial guidelines in your practice. You need to have spreadsheets. You need to have reports. But folks, this is still back to a relationship business. You have a relationship. These patients are coming in. They have, many of them have challenges. They're placing their trust in you to get them to another level. It might just be beyond the smile. It might be something that they've had challenges with their overall health. There's such a great connection between dental health and overall health that you have an impact to be able to do. And one of the big ways you can do that is, even beyond the dentistry, is having something that you can support. Community impact. Corporate dentistry isn't into the community impact. Private practice, you are about that. So you can make that huge, huge impact like Dr. Lauren did and so many of other clients had. I just love her story because it talked about how a give that was something she was passionate about related to, like, wow, all these people knowing who she was. And what I always want clients to be able to do, and I want you to do, is you can walk down the street and people can, you can talk about it and say, hey, I'm Dr. So-and-so and I have this great practice. Can I tell you what we support? And if you think about that, you can connect with other local businesses in your community. Local business, especially if you're in a community that has a lot of local businesses, you can talk about impact, supporting a cause, supporting something that you're passionate about. Thinking about that. In our course, it's called Startup Practice Blueprint. I talk about the give process, like dialing in, like there are certain criteria that it needs to meet. And if you do it genuinely and authentically, it can make that huge impact. And that is a huge separator between what private practice can do and what corporate dentistry sometimes attempts to do, but just does it in a way that feels like it's a gimmick. And folks, if it becomes a gimmick, then it destroys a reputation. So be David, slaying Goliath as a private practice ownership. As a private practice owner, corporate dentistry, it's not going anywhere. It's going to be here, but there's still this great opportunity that exists. Remember the relationship that exists between doctor and patient. Continue to build that even as you work as an associate today. Keep in mind also, the patients that typically are attracted to corporate dentistry, they are chasing discounts. Well, a lot of people are chasing discounts. Everybody wants a deal, but they may not be your what we call ideal patient. They may not be your ideal patient. So think about who are those patients that you would love to have and say, ooh, they're here, and you can separate yourself. And then also think about, like, the separator that a private practice has is community. You're serving a community. You can serve your community beyond dentistry. You can if you truly make an impact on your community, that comes back. If you're impacting other local businesses, you're impacting the lives of those people in your community, that will come back. And I'll say this, I've seen it time and time again, you're going to be rewarded in the end in a positive way. So I'm super excited for each and one of you to take this next leap. Earlier, I had mentioned about a course it's called Startup Practice Blueprint. Twice a year, our team puts on this immersive 2-day event where 25 to 30 associate dentists like yourself come in and we unfold all the trade secrets about startups, how to set it up, everything from marketing to setting up your give to floor planning, equipment construction, the business systems. 2-day immersive course. It's a little bit of a fire hose coming at you. If you're thinking about taking that leap into private practice ownership and you're just not quite sure what that right time is, come to our course. You're going to learn so much from other people that are going to be there. You're going to be able to interact with startups that have done this before. So our next course is in October. We have about a dozen seats left. So to register for this event, go to startuppracticeblueprint.com and register for this event. It's going to be a great one coming up. We always say each time that course was the best. And every time we say that for each course. So that's startuppracticeblueprint.com and we'll see you there. That's a wrap on separating how a startup can beat corporate dentistry. Don't forget to check the show notes for any and all links and resources we talked about today. Next time, we are going to dive into the topic of how to select the right equipment and how to protect yourself to ensure your budget is in line when you make that some of the biggest purchases for your startup. I'll see you there. As we wrap up this episode, take a moment to picture yourself a year from now. Are you still in your associateship? Or are you rocking it at your own dental practice, creating beautiful smiles and making a real difference? If that's the dream, it's time to chase it. Before we split, make sure to hit subscribe, drop a review, and give us your rating. It helps us keep bringing you the good stuff that you're into. Until we meet again, keep taking that next step towards your future practice. Here's to investing in your dreams and making them a reality.